People were turning their hearts to Christ. People were asking Jesus to come into their life to forgive them of their sins, and they were starting a new relationship with him. It actually says in Acts chapter 8 that there was much rejoicing in the city. Okay, just like this room last week, there was much rejoicing in that city. So that tells me something about Philip and about what's going on. Guys, where Philip was, God was moving. There was big things going on. People were getting saved by the dozens, by the hundreds. Tons and tons and tons of people were coming to know Christ. Cities were being changed because of the work there. So there was a big work and a big move of God that was going on right there. But then something happened and God came to Philip and he said, you know what? Things are awesome, but things are going to be different. We're going to move on. Things are going to be different. We're going to change it up now just a little bit. So he's in the midst of this huge, huge time of ministry. Guys, just like us. Just like us from this past Sunday, this huge thing happened, and now God says, you know what, I want you to do something just a little bit different now, so walk with me. All right, we're going to pick it up. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26. Okay, this comes right on the heels of big-time ministry. It says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So in verse 27, we're just going to read those first few words. It says this. It says, so he got up and went. All right, he got up and went. He was in the middle of this huge ministry time. He was in the middle of a lot of people getting saved. He was in the middle of an incredible time of preaching and an incredible time of reaching out to people in that city there. And all of a sudden, God said, you know what? Get up. I know things are huge right now. I know things are amazing right now. I know this is a really, really big deal right now, but I want you to get up. And I'm going to take you somewhere else. And he said, I want you to go on this road called Gaza, right? The road down to Gaza. And Philip knew, he knew that was a desert road. He knew that he wouldn't see hardly anybody on that road. He knew it was remote. He knew it was isolated. He knew that his chance and his opportunity to stand up and preach in front of thousands of people had just gone away. And God was about to use him in a totally different way. And here's what Philip did not say. Think about this. Here's what Philip did not say. He didn't say, God, I don't want to go there because there's not enough people there. He didn't say, God, I'm not going to go there because I know you're not working there. He didn't say, God, don't make me minister here because the people here will never accept you. In verse 27, it says this. It says, so Philip got up and he went. Here's the first thing I want you guys to pay attention to tonight as we think about how we're going to move on. All right, how we're going to continue ministering. All right, Philip was obedient to God. He got up and he went. He did what God called him to do. He didn't question it. He didn't ask God about it. He was willing and he was obedient to do what God called him to do. And the results are really, really cool. All right, let's see what happened with Philip. Let's move on. In verse 27 again, it says, so he got up and went. And it says, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all the treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. If you don't know this, he was reading a part of the Old Testament, okay? And the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament actually talks a lot about Jesus. It was written before Jesus came to earth, and it's actually pointing people forward to Jesus. So it's cool. This guy's sitting there, and he's reading out of the Old Testament of the Bible. And again, we see the Spirit said to Philip, okay, so again, God's talking to Philip, and it says, go up and join this chariot. Verse 30, Philip ran up, and he heard this guy reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy looked at Philip, and he said, how could I understand unless someone guides me. He said, how could I understand unless someone tells me about it? He said, how could I understand unless someone takes time out of their life to invest in my life? He said, how could I understand unless you, who is a Christian and you know this stuff, takes a second to share with me, who's a non-Christian and doesn't know this stuff? This guy looked at Philip and he said, listen, I want to understand, but I need somebody. I need you to step up and share with me and tell me about it in order for me to understand. Listen, Philip got to this desert road. He got to this isolated road. And I'm sure, guys, at first he had to have been looking around saying, God, how in the world are you going to use me here? God, what, there was much rejoicing in the city. This was a big deal. How are you going to use me here? What's going to happen here? But listen to this, guys. God had Philip exactly where he wanted him for a very specific purpose. Okay, everybody look up here. Or if your chair's facing the wrong way, turn around, look at me. Just everybody look up here real quick. Just like Philip, God has you where you are for a very specific purpose. I'm going to say it again. God has you where you are for a very specific purpose. It's not an accident that you're at the school you're in. It's not an accident that you have the friends that you have. It's not an accident that you live in the neighborhood that you live in. It's not an accident that you interact with the people that you interact with each and every day. Guys, nothing in your life is an accident. God has you where he wants you, just like he has Philip. Okay, God has you where he wants you for a reason and for a very, very specific purpose. That was true in Philip's life, and it led to something really cool. Guys, that's true in your life too, and I know that when you're obedient and when you listen to God, something very, very cool is going to happen. Okay, so he gets there, and he does something that might be a little bit foreign to us. Okay, he gets there, and he does something that might surprise us a little bit. He gets there, and he does something that we might not necessarily think of. Okay, he got there. Let me tell you what he did. He opened his mouth, and he said something to the guy. All right, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? Just, I never would have thought of that. It's mind-blowing. He got there, and he actually opened his mouth, and he said something to the guy. Now, I'm going to say something. Please don't be offended by it, all right? I'm just telling you, all right, what I'm seeing in the story. He got there, and he didn't just live a good life in front of that guy, okay? He got there, and he did not just wear a Christian T-shirt in front of this guy riding in the chariot, okay? He got there, and he opened his mouth and began to speak, and he began to talk to the guy that God had brought into his life. Now, those first couple of things, we need to do that, okay? We need to live a good life. The way that we live our life should point people to Jesus. The decisions that we make, the clothes that we wear, the people, all that stuff should point people to Jesus. But guys, in this story, Philip opened his mouth. He took it a little bit farther, and he opened his mouth and shared the gospel verbally with this guy so this guy could hear it, and so this guy could understand it. He wasn't at this moment preaching in front of thousands of people. At this moment, he wasn't inviting him to a place, to a room that was going to be full of hundreds, if not thousands of people. He wasn't inviting him to the next big event. He wasn't inviting him to a camp. He wasn't inviting him to this big and grand production. He was investing in one person one-on-one and one person one-on-one with the hope that that guy would come to know Jesus Christ. Guys, when we do that, when we get one-on-one with somebody, God moves in a big way. Listen, last week, tons of you guys got one-on-one with somebody, and we went from having 500-something people in Element to almost 1,000 people in Element. That's not because we put a bunch of stuff on Facebook. People don't come because of that. Guys, people came because you got one-on-one with them and invited them. And I'll be honest, we don't have to have Dutch Bradley every week. We don't have to have a life book every week. We would see that kind of stuff happen each and every week if all of us would get one-on-one with people and invest in them and invite them and pour into them week after week after week. Guys, Philip, in this story, guys, Philip didn't have a life book to go share with somebody. Philip didn't have a camp flyer to go share with somebody. What Philip had was a love for Jesus and a love for the people that Jesus loves. Guys, and that caused a huge thing in the life of the guy that was riding in this chariot, okay? Guys, when we invest one-on-one with people, God moves in a really, really big way. You heard a lot of stories up here at the beginning of the night. I've got a story that we want to share with you. Cammy Grindle's going to come up, and she's going to just share her story real quick. Come on up, Cammy, and give it up for her. So we reached out to you guys and asked students to sort of share what God had done. Cammy had a really, really cool story. I want you guys to listen to it. I'm going to ask her a question or two at the end, and then we're going to talk a little bit more. So y'all give it up for her. Listen to her, lock in, and she's going to tell you her story in just a couple minutes.
Hello. Okay, it's on. Okay, so last year I had this class that was one of those classes where the teacher would give you like the work at the beginning and then you'd finish it halfway through and then you didn't really have anything else to do and so you just like talked to everybody around you. Have you ever had like one of those classes? Yeah? No?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so there was this guy who sat next to me and he didn't really talk to a lot of people and so I was like, I want to introduce myself and get to know this kid. And so I was like, hey, I'm Cammie. He was like, hey, I'm Xavier. And so then, you know, like, we had a lot of those days where we'd finish our work really early, and so then we would just, like, start talking. And one day it came up about church, and I asked him if he had, you know, like, a church that he went to regularly, and he said no because his parents didn't really go to church, I guess you can say. Like, they just didn't feel like they needed to. They felt like they were just, like, religious on their own kind of thing. And you know, like, he knew a lot about the Bible, and he liked to read the Bible, and, you know, like, he recognized that there was, like, one God, and, you know, that there was a heaven and stuff, but he really wanted to get involved in a church, and so I was like, you know, okay, come with me, and he was like, okay, but it never worked out with rides, because we both couldn't drive, and his parents didn't really want to, like, take him to a church that they weren't going to stay at, and so we just kind of, like, lost contact over the summer, and we didn't have a class this year together, and we just hadn't talked in a while, and then all of a sudden, like, Thursday of last week, he messages me on Facebook and is like, hey, is that invitation to go to church still open? And I was like, yeah, man, come on. And so he came on Sunday and was really impacted by Dutch's, you know, testimony, and God really spoke to him, and he ended up giving his life to Christ on Sunday. So, yeah.
Thank you. Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Cammie. Here's the cool thing about that, all right? She's sitting in a class. God's got her there for a purpose. It's not an accident, all right? She's sitting next to the person that she's sitting next to. Guys, listen to this. Look up here. It's on purpose. It's not an accident, all right? One day, she looks out, she sees nobody's talking to this guy, she introduces herself, she begins the conversation, and just like Philip did in the story, guys, she eventually turned that conversation towards spiritual things. She asked about a church home, she asked about the Bible, and they began talking, and guys, it led to a dialogue that lasted several months, if not a year, okay? Here's the cool thing, all right? And the thing for all of us to remember, it didn't result in that guy coming to church the very first time that he asked her to, and him giving his life to Christ, okay? That's not how it happened. It took a lot of time, okay? But it worked, and it happened because she invested in him. He knew that she was genuine. He knew that she was real. He knew that she cared about him and that she cared about what was going on in his life. And eventually, that led to him giving his life to Christ. When she met him, she didn't have a life book to give him, okay? When she met him, she wasn't inviting him to camp. She was just talking to him, sharing the gospel with him, and inviting him to come and be a part of what was going on. I talked to Maddie earlier. Maddie had a girl that she's hoping to room with next year at Texas Tech that she said for over 2 years she's been asking this girl to come to church with her on a Sunday morning. 2 years. Okay, you weren't giving her life books for 2 years. You weren't necessarily giving her camp flyers for 2 years. You were investing in this girl's life because she was one of your friends, one of your good friends, and you know that she needs this in her life. You know this would be good for her. You know that she needs Jesus just like we all need Jesus. And the result of that constant invitation, that constant investment in her life is her friend coming and getting connected and getting plugged in and God doing a huge work in her life. So guys, the message is and the point is this. When we do that, when we invest in people, God changes hearts and he changes lives. When we finish that story in Acts chapter 8, the guy gets saved. He accepts Christ. They're continuing to ride in the chariot. And he says, hey, there's some water. Baptize me. I mean, the guy was on fire because Philip invested in his life. Listen, guys, Philip was doing what God had commanded him to do, what God had created to do. And whether you know it or not, this past week, each and every one of you that were involved in this movement, each and every one of you that passed out a life book, everyone that invited somebody to church, everyone that, you know, that tweeted something that said, hey, come with me, God's going to move, God's going to speak. Each and every one of you that were a part of it, you were doing what God had commanded you and what God had created you to do. In Matthew 28, God told each and every one of us as Christians, as believers, that it's our job to go and make disciples. It's not for pastor Christians. It's not for life group teacher Christians. It's not for parent Christians. It's for anyone that calls themselves a Christian. We're called to go. In Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, it says, you will be my witnesses. That means you're going to tell people about Jesus each and every place that you go. Peter tells us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in the gospel. That is Christ Jesus. Guys, everywhere we go, school, friends, work, wherever, whenever we go, whether it's life book time, whether it's camp time, whether it's Easter time, or whether we're just going to school on a normal day. Guys, everywhere we go, every time we go, we are called to constantly be telling people about Jesus. And here's the deal, guys, and this is our heart, all right? This is Jeff's heart. This is Pastor Fleming's heart. Guys, our heart is that we see people that don't know Jesus experience Jesus the way that we've experienced Jesus and have their lives radically changed. And guys, what happened this past Sunday can happen each and every Sunday if we invest in the people around us, if we constantly share the gospel and allow God to work through our lives. So, guys, I want you to be encouraged by what happened this past week. I want you to be encouraged seeing, man, God can move. Seeing, man, you know, I can go up to my friends. I can talk with them. I can share with them. You know, I can have the boldness to do this. This isn't that hard. I can go and do it. And guys, I want you to continue praying and asking God for the boldness to do that. And I want you to continue doing that so that God can work in their lives in a huge, huge way. This past Sunday was not a one-time thing. Okay, the next time you invite your friend and the next time you pour into your friend, please don't let it be for Freedom Weekend. Please don't let it be for camp. We want you to do both of those, but the next time you pour in your friends, we want it to be tomorrow because you love them as much as Jesus loves them. Okay, let's pray. God, we love you, Lord, and God, we are thankful that you love us. We are thankful, God, that you've saved us. God, we're thankful for the huge work that you've done in the heart and the life of every Christian, every believer that's in this room, Lord. And God, I pray right now that you would not let us spiritually be lazy. God, that you would not let us spiritually be satisfied with what happened this past Sunday and just wait for you to move the next time we have a big Sunday. God, I pray that you would put a burning passion and desire in our hearts for us to see our friends come to know you, for us to see our classmates come to know you, for us to see our schools and our parents and our families and the people that are in our lives come to know you. Jesus, I pray that you would give us the boldness, that you would give us the words, God, and I pray that you would put in the heart and mind of every person in this room, a few people, God, that we could continue to pour into as we move on from this past Sunday, God, looking forward to another big Sunday next week, God, because it's every day we know that you want to work in the heart and lives of those around us. So in your name we pray, amen. Guys, what I want you all to do is turn into your tables. Your table leaders have some discussion questions they're going to work through with you guys. But before you start talking, I want to say one more thing. If you're in the room tonight and you heard us talk about that and you heard us talk about Philip's conversation and you're thinking, I've never given my life to Christ or I need a relationship with Jesus, there's adults in the back that want to tell you how to do that, or I'm up here in the front. If that's you tonight, come find us. If it's not, y'all talk at your tables and leaders discuss.